Hello, everybody. Good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you're sitting right now. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm moderating today's webinar on how to create a culture of growth in your organization, which is being brought to you by InterPros. Growing a collection operation starts from the top down. Companies need to maintain a constant atmosphere of growth so that all employees buy in and everybody is rowing in the same direction. In this webinar, sponsored by InterPros, a panel of senior executives from across the credit collection industry are here to share their strategies to help companies develop and maintain a culture of growth within their organization. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Courtney Fleming joined Wilbur Group in October 2010 and is currently the Chief Personnel Officer. She earned her undergraduate degree in risk management and financial services from Illinois Wesleyan University. She assists the Wilbur team with recruiting efforts and developing training paths, as well as working to ensure proper compliance is met throughout the departments with role and process-specific audits. Courtney is a certified instructor for ACA International and leads teleseminars as well as face-to-face sessions pertaining to the collection industry. Through this association, she holds the following designations: Professional Collection Specialist, Instructor Professional, and Credit Collection Compliance Officer Professional and Officer. Tim Haig is a president at State Collection Service. He joined the company, which was founded by his grandfather, in 2009. Over the past several years, Tim has played a key role in State Collection Service's exceptional growth. During his tenure, the company has expanded into two new locations, grown its staff by more than 300%, and continued garnering national attention as a receivables company of choice for major healthcare systems throughout the United States. Tim holds a degree in business management from Northern Michigan University. Kelly Krieger is a vice president of organizational development and training for CBE companies. She has 22 years of experience in training and development and currently oversees all matters relating to employee development and engagement. She has been with CBE on and off since 1996 and specializes in sales, persuasion, customer service, recovery, and management training. Her trainings focus on the development of human talent, utilizing the latest innovations in human performance technology. Ken Peck is a vice president of operations at RGS Financial. He has spent the past 17 years in the credit collection industry, working his way up from a collection manager to overseeing the entire collection operation at RGS. He has spent the past 2 years at the company, joining it after spending nearly 4 years as a director of business development at Southwest Credit Systems. In the collection industry, Ken is also a motivational speaker. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them as the discussion is ongoing and when the discussion has concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded and a recording will be made available in the coming days on AccountsRecovery.net. Finally, I want to ask everybody to reserve a minute and fill out the survey that should pop up on your screen after the webinar is over today. You'll also receive a link via email tomorrow to access the survey. Your participation and your feedback helps me develop content that's what you're looking for and to find the speakers you want to hear from, which is definitely the case with the panel we have with us today. With that, let's move on to our discussion, why everybody's here. Let's start with our first question. Let's start with a very broad question, and maybe we'll go around the panel. How do you define culture as it pertains to a company? Eh, oh, we switched. I was going to give it to Tim, but since Kelly's on my screen, I should answer the first question. Kelly, it's all yours.
Good. I'm going to take it. It is a huge question, a very broad question. So I'm sure all of us will have a different answer to this. In all my research, and I'm really involved in culture in my organization. My job title is organizational development. And so one of the things I figured out about culture is two things are universal about it. No matter what, it exists in your organization, whether it be good or bad. So no matter what, every single organization has a culture. And that culture plays a critical role in shaping the behaviors within that organization. So I think there's two areas that really define culture, and it's how an organization does things. So what you do repeatedly, meaning like what your habits are or what's the core of your culture and shapes your behavior. So like your policies and procedures and how you follow through with that and how you treat your employees. And it's shaped by compensation. So your culture is really based on the behaviors, things that you do repeatedly, and your compensation. So your values, how you make people feel important, your belief systems, obviously pay, benefits, and how you develop your employees. So that's my high level view of what culture really is defined as.
Awesome. Well done.
Yes, Kelly, I thought you made a really great point. You had in your description of culture that it shapes behaviors. In my, as far as defining culture, part of it is setting boundaries of what the team members' behaviors are so that they know how they are with their team members and then also what it is that the company does. So how I would define culture is very similar to certain parts that definitely overlap with having boundaries for the behaviors, how each person contributes to the overall goal, and what does the company do? What are its goals? What are its strategies? What is its structure? And it really helps in having a good culture, really helps make sure everyone can be in line with that particular culture. We had in our office where we found people were describing our culture as laid back. And I went and I asked a few of our newer team members, like, you heard we were really laid back. And they were like, well, yes, but once you got here, it's not laid back. It's hard work and fair dealings. And so making sure that with culture that we didn't have a laid back behavior, it was that people were comfortable with the actual work. And so making sure that we are describing it properly.
Yeah, and I know I'm new to the panel, but I kind of echo what you have said. But it really comes down to the customs, ideas, behavior, you know, that are within the organization. And they're going to be as strong as what you deliver and what you give to the people. So if you bring the energy, they're going to bring the energy. If you say you're laid back, you have to define it on what that is meaning. When they come into this call center, it is we're putting on a show to give them that energy of everybody can make it to being in the leadership position. So what does it take? How much energy do you need to absorb? What do you need to give up to get to that? What do you need to learn? So that feeds, that motivates each individual to want more, to want to be more. And then that transfers over onto the phone and when they're speaking with the consumer. And that's how you make that engagement with the people. And then it changes the behavior of your entire call center.
Yeah, I think you guys have all done a great job on describing this. So I've been kind of thinking about it. And Kelly, you started off by saying you can define it by, you know, there's a culture no matter what, if that's good culture or bad culture. Obviously, the point today is to talk about our four organizations. And I know all four of these companies, and we're all known to have a very good, positive culture. You also touched on I think it was either Kelly or Courtney mentioned values. And I'd say the culture here at State Collection Service very much is based on our values. And our biggest values are our family values, being a third generation company. And we'll touch on some of that and what I mean by that a little bit later. But another word that I picked out is, and I think Courtney, you mentioned, is being fair. And I think that's the type of culture that we're trying to establish and trying to maintain is you treat people the way you want to be treated, just as we treat the consumers on the phone the way we want to be treated. And I think our employees here at State Collection Service understand that we're going to be fair. So those are a few extra comments I'd add on to.
Excellent. Appreciate everybody's feedback to get this conversation going. So I'm going to guess that, you know, from the answers I've gotten and from why we're having, you know, as Tim said, why we're having this webinar, that it's easy to sort of, you know, if I ask, is culture overrated? All four of you are going to say no, which is great, which is fine. So then let me ask each of you, You know, what are sort of the most important components of developing a culture? Like, how do you actually sort of take, okay, we want to have a culture, we want to have values, we have this mission statement, and actually put it into practice, you know, inside the four walls of an office on a daily basis? Does anyone want to go first this time?
Yeah, I'll jump at that since I was last time. But, you know, my job as the president of the company is obviously a big part of that is to maintain the culture and grow that culture. But it's not a one-person job. And so I think the main thing is when I moved into my role and throughout the years, I'm getting more and more involved in more leadership roles within the company. It was getting the buy-in from the rest of the management group, understanding the type of culture I'm trying to create and making sure that they understand and they follow through on those types of things. Ultimately getting that down to, you know, all staff, but most importantly, I think today it's the new staff that come in. We've been hiring a lot lately and I try to visit, we have four different locations. I try to get to those locations at least once a month. And spend some time with those new employees. I think we all understand that today the job markets are tough. And instead of, you know, people applying for jobs, it's more like we have to sell a job to them. And I think we do a really good job of selling our culture as a big benefit, because as we mentioned, there are some places, maybe you get a little bit more pay, but it's just a horrible culture to be in day to day. So again, it's getting everybody bought in, but and a consistent message, I'd say.
Yeah, I think that's.
Yeah, I just add on to in regards to it. It's what we have in the name of our company, RGS. It's respect, gratitude, service, and it started from the top. You know, with the owners, Mike and Kathy, having that respect, and it trickling down. You have to make sure that if you're saying it, you have to live it. So you have to be the ones that's willing to roll up your sleeve to say, I'm willing to help you get better. And that's what we attempt to do here, to make it a fun environment. They want to come to work. They want to learn. They want to grow. And they know that you are vested in their development, in that coaching, their development. And you're going to be there for them, even when it's not work related. They have a show that they are attending. They're speaking at a different event. You want to show that, hey, I may not be able to make it to all of them, but hey, I want to be there to show you that we support you as a company. So I really believe is you have to live on the words. I've seen a lot of places where you can say you respect and you have trust, but that trust comes with a metal detector while you're walking in. So you're not really living by what you actually believe. And so, and I think that's huge. And the agents know that. And it's not monetary all the time that they're looking for. They're just looking for someone to pay attention to. They're not having a good day, that, hey, they're not happy. They're a little down. And what they want to know that you truly care.
I think one of the big points that both of you is the fact that people know about it, that you're talking about what your culture is, the knowledge of it, and that people are aware. When I think of the important components, I think of how many times we've talked about what our vision, mission, and values are. And those are really the three-legged stool that our office stands on. Our vision being what it is that we do, our mission being how we will succeed, and then our values being those boundaries for our behavior. But we talk about them constantly. We have a new hire class where we meet 9 times for 9 Fridays. We talk about our company's culture and make sure that people understand what it is, how we're going to succeed, and what those boundaries are, so they can ensure that they are in line with that. Because that helps to build relationships in their team when we're all going the same way.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has so many really great points. And the one thing that I kind of that hit me hard was when Ken said, you know, we all build it off of trust. And because I don't trust you if we have a metal detector at the front door. Well, in our organization, in one of our offices, we have to have a metal detector. You have to be wanded as you walk in because our client requires it. And it made me go, oh, my gosh, do our employees think that we don't trust them, which they might not. So I'm gonna piggyback on what Ken said in regards to that, and making sure that you may have values in your organization like trust, but some of your processes and policies are not showing that you trust them, but you have no control over those processes and policies. So to communicate the why behind what you're doing. So I think taking a good look at, what you're hanging on the four walls, but also looking at your policies that you have in place, like no cell phone policy, metal detectors at the front door. You can't bring a purse or paperless or whatever those policies are, making sure that you communicate the why behind it. So your employees understand that it's not that we don't trust you. It's that we have to do what's right for our client in order to keep them. So that really resonated with me, Ken.
I'm curious, Ken, just to follow up on what you were saying. You talked about the importance of making it fun. I was wondering if you might be able to sort of share an example or two of how you do that.
Well, the first thing is I spend my entire day morning. When I first got to RGS, it was a smaller company, so it was a lot easier for me to say good morning to everyone. But I make it a point that every morning I come in, I speak to every single employee. I have to change shoes and put on my Nikes when I'm doing it. But I want them to know that, hey, I'm no different than them. I just have a different duty and responsibility. So some of the things that we do is I'll shut the call center down for 5 or 10 minutes, and we'll have what we call a power hour. We'll just break out in a dance. We'll do karaoke. We just, not too long, we had a lip sync battle, to where we're giving away cash. You want to do the things that they can go home and say, man, you won't believe what we did at work. I run around on a hoverboard throughout the office, mainly because I'm lazy. But again, I'm letting them know that, hey, this is a place where, you know what, it's just because I have a different title do not mean that I don't understand what it is that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And I also get their feedback. One of the other things that we're getting ready to implement is that we got a lot of young people here. And they're not excited about all the time gift cards. They want video games. They want to be able to play. So we're really implementing a lot of gamification throughout the company to get them engaged in increasing their performance. So it's really just being in touch with the staff and knowing what it is that they want, and you being willing to, hey, to jump in. If you're having a performance, hey, you're going to participate in it. We did an angel tree, and we did an angel tree internally, which was a little different from, going out. We did it for the employees that were in need within the organization. And within an hour, everyone picked an angel tree, and those individuals, their children got a gift that they otherwise wouldn't have gotten if we wouldn't have jumped in as a company. And those employees appreciate that.
Excellent. I mean, one of the things he keeps talking about, and I think you're seeing as a trend, is that leaders are visible and accessible. So this isn't in line with the fun stuff. I love that he's doing the fun stuff, but I think it is the leaders, and not just supervisors. The supervisors are always there for the associates, but it's the upper management showing up and having fun and showing that it's okay to be yourself, to be more than just a leader, but to be a leader through engagement and being outgoing and fun and laughing, that's what you're all about, and being available and showing them that it's okay.
I agree.
Excellent. Well, at this point, I just want to pause the discussion briefly, and I'd like to invite Aaron Ryder from InterPros, the sponsor for today's webinar, to say a few words. Aaron?
Thanks, Mike. And thanks to all the panelists today, Courtney, Tim, Kelly, Ken. We really love that Mike is so passionate about providing this service to the ARM community. And on behalf of InterPros and all the participants listening today out in mute land, thanks for donating your time and being a discussion leader today and every other day that you've done it. This industry is really unique in its collective support, knowledge sharing, and it's nice to be a part of it. The topic of today's webinar discussion really resonated significantly to us, which is why we chose it as one to sponsor. The focus is fostering great cultures that facilitate growth in the agency space. Those principles are really universal and something that we can all work hard at nurturing. We all work hard here at nurturing it at Interpros. Our CEO has actually spoken on the topic several times at different conferences. And while Mike provides a few moments typically for us, for sponsors, to pitch our products, and I'd be delinquent as the marketing director if I didn't mention that Interpros is a software company that provides a fantastic web-based debt collection platform. I kind of want to stick to the topic and even plant a seed about what technology can do to facilitate those goals of growth now that it's 2020. First of all, Interpros has its own internal processes to help its employees thrive. We focus a lot on making happy employees, as every company should, because like all of our customers, which are, many I'm sure are on this call, we're a service company, and great interactions with customers starts with employee engagement. So it's pretty well understood at this point that happy employees treat customers well because they care more about the organization they work for, and it comes with a feeling of ownership or inclusion. It's just, it's not touchy-feely nonsense, it's science. And I'm really enjoying the specific examples that these panelists are providing instead of generalizations. We see how we see our role as a technology provider in this kind of overarching goal is to make all the workflow intuitive for employees, automate as many redundant business processes as possible. You know, the stuff that makes work boring and unrewarding. And we would argue that these capabilities, among others, that we provide, facilitate the growth and work that work satisfaction is crucial to those culture of growth goals. So I'm just saying, you know, facilitating growth today probably doesn't look like it did 30 or 40 years ago, and 1980s software might not help you. At Interpros, our tagline is relentless innovation. And while the obvious connection is to the software service we provide, it's visible to our customers. It also applies to our own culture as a company that rapidly grows and expands its service offerings and our customer base. So if you want to see what we're up to and you're drawn to providers filled with employees who love what they do, come check us out. Schedule some time to talk through our website at interpros.com. You can see it on the screen that's rolling in front of you. But thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Aaron. Very well said. Really appreciate the kind words. And Interpros is a continuing sponsorship of content to help educate and inform companies in the credit collection industry. So I put Ken on the spot and asked him for a specific example. I was wondering maybe if I could get the rest of the panel to share an example of one thing that you think sets your company's culture apart from everybody else. Courtney, would you mind going first?
Yes, I think there's 2 points, and one of them I kind of already touched on is that we talk about our culture. We have a culture class for all of our new hires where we have guest speakers that come in from different departments, and what we talk about is where we came from, why do we exist, what do we do, what's most important right now, and then we also talk about who must do what. And each team member leaves that class being able to describe our company's culture, which is really great because, as they had mentioned, we're kind of out there where we're having to sell our positions. We're not having as many candidates coming in. And so with our current team member being able to describe what our culture is appropriately, that allows them to go out into the community and in their networks and talk about the company that they work for, and also attract others who are similar minded. Not just saying, my job is laid back, we have a really great day, my leader really motivates me, but can actually say what our culture is: faithful service to our clients and to the consumers, people before profit, and hard work and fair dealings. So I think that really sets us apart is our new hire training, how often we talk about it. And if you ask one of our team members, they can describe it, which is huge for us.
Yeah, this is Tim. I'll jump in. For about the last 5 years or so, we've done an annual survey. And I think the best thing that comes out of that is the consistent messaging. And so the consistent comments that we hear the most, the three most common things are fun, are family, fun, and flexibility. That's what our employees say about us. And I think from a family standpoint, as I mentioned, we are a family business. It's extremely important to myself and my father, and obviously my grandfather, who started the company and is no longer with us. But so we really think about the traditions and the history there. And, you know, when we say family, when we talk to, when we address our staff, we don't, you know, we don't call our staff or employees. They're a part of the family. And so if somebody new comes in and we make an announcement that somebody, you know, started in client services, we'll see emails from all offices from just random people saying, hey, welcome to the family. And so that's something that we're very proud of. Fun. You know, Ken mentioned a lot of the stuff that he does. I think in all call centers, you have to have a lot of fun. I've been known at the holiday time, we have all the staff, children will come in for a holiday party. I've been known to dress as Buddy the Elf, that's always a lot of fun. Yes, and there's no pictures available for that, by the way. We do a lot of family outings throughout the year. The summertime, we do baseball games. We have an annual awards banquet where we put everybody in a hotel overnight with a guest and give out a ton of awards, ton of prizes. Last year, we gave away a cruise for two, fully paid for, and that was a huge hit. On a monthly basis, we're always giving away a ton of different prizes, and we really change that up, and we actually ask for the feedback of the staff of what are they looking for. And each office and each department might have different needs. Some like the bigger, larger prizes, some just like a lot of smaller things. And then lastly, the flexibility. I think this goes back to the family piece of it. Is we're very flexible when it comes to people's schedules. We understand that they have children that, you know, might be sick, or we also have obviously a lot of single parents. And so we're understanding for that. You know, if somebody's got, you know, a son or a daughter that's got a basketball game tonight and they need to leave an hour and a half early, there's no questions asked. Just, you know, get there, make up your time. And if it becomes a problem, we're going to sit down and talk to you about it and see if we can change your schedule and things like that. But it goes back to just treating people fair. And so there's just a few comments, but family, fun, flexibility, something that we strive to be.
I love that. I think some of the things that we do, which I'm sure is not probably different from any other organization that's on this panel, is that we, from top down, from the top to the bottom of leadership, care about the individual as a person and their growth. And like not just their growth, but their passions, their strength. We invest in their personal development. We focus on their goals and provide a career. And, you know, not everybody graduates from high school or college and says, I cannot wait to get into the collection industry. So we hope all of our employees want to be long-term employees and want to grow with our organization. We really do only promote from within. So rarely, if ever, would we hire a supervisor externally. It's usually, I would say 99.9% of the time, it's someone who's been in our organization for a while. But knowing that our employees might not want to, you know, be long-term employees, we find out what their goals are in life and try to tie what they're going to do in life with what they're doing today. So if someone says, I'm going to school to be a counselor, then we say, okay, well, while you're on the phone, so these are the skills you learn in this job while you're on the phone that will help you in your career path down the road. So it's lifelong development versus just development while you're an employee in our organization.
Yeah, I would add on in regards to what I always tell. One of the things that I tell each and every employee that's here is, I want their skill set to be transferable. I want them to be able to have, if they're not happy here or they want to go elsewhere, when they see RGS on their resume, they know that they've been coached up, they've been trained, and they're ready, and they can take the next step, because I'm always training them to be at the next level. That team lead is being trained to be a supervisor. Supervisor is being trained to be a manager. That manager is being trained to be, so they see the growth, they see the development. So they understand, as I'll be talking, and I believe it's, yeah, next week, in regards to, I really press on making them understand that every goal is obtainable. You just have to have the drive and determination to get there. Your why has to be great. And as long as you know why you're doing it, it doesn't matter how you're going to get there, because the how is going to take care of itself. And then that goes through the call center, and they're able to see it, because I'm able to take some that was right where they were, and they're able to see the coaching, the development of those, their peers, and then they want to be a part of that. They want to grow. They want to learn how to do it.
I think that's a great point about talking about our team members that may go somewhere else. And sometimes is a culture where you don't want to be seen as for lack of a better word, like stepping stone somewhere else. And so I think it's great to hear that other companies have a culture out there of working to make their team members better, working to gain more skills, working with them on their professional skills, giving them experience. And so if they do leave at one point based on circumstances, or they have a different vision for that themselves, I think that's a great point that was brought up, was that if they go somewhere else, the company that they came from, they know they gave them additional skills than when they were first hired.
Excuse me. Excellent. Thank you. I believe, Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were referring to your talk next week at Collector Live, which is an event that Ken and me will both be speaking at, a one-day event, www.collector.live. We've got 17 speakers giving presentations on different topics aimed at frontline collection agencies. Interpros is also a sponsor of Collector Live, so thanks for that. So if you haven't signed up for Collector Live, you really should. It's a really, really unique and cool event. Again, the website is www.collector.live to learn more and to sign up. You can also reach out to me if you have any questions. So thanks for that. Moving on, you know, we've talked a lot about the different areas that, you know, that a company needs to focus on with respect to its culture, from how employees are treated and how they treat themselves to a company's own strategic direction and growth. I'm curious, you know, that's a lot of different things, and those are a lot of really important and really big ticket items. So how do you recommend a company manage these different aspects of what ultimately determines your company's culture and make sure its priorities are in the right place? And how do you make sure you're spending enough time everywhere and getting all of those bases covered every day or as often as they need to be? Because, you know, it sounds like those are all important things, and they all need your attention. I'll leave that open to anybody who wants to jump in first this time.
Oh, I will jump in on that one and get us started. And I think as far as managing all the different aspects, it's really a matter of casting that vision and talking about the culture, talking about it over and over, and then have a couple more conversations on it. We have a quick list in our office that kind of helps people when we're talking about our office's culture and is it in line with our office's culture. And it really helps to guide the decisions that our different leaders and team members, as they're doing work, helps guide them to make sure they're in line with what our culture is. And it goes to protect the client, protect the company, apply trust, no gossip, and keep it happy, keep it fun. And those are our actual like boundaries for that behavior. And so I think it's important, as we're trying to talk about our culture and manage all the different aspects and see what's most important, but kind of letting people know, like, when you come to a decision, what do you need to actually do to stay in line with your company's culture?
Yeah, I'll jump in. So we do strategic planning, and we've done that for many years. And we just have five or six main goals, but every year one of those is employee satisfaction. We measure that with our annual surveys, and then we also do some mini surveys throughout the year. Even when those survey results come out really, really good, I remind the rest of the leadership staff, we got to focus on the areas that we're scoring really well on, and make sure that we continue to maintain that level or even increase that. But, and then there's always an area of opportunity. So when we get those survey results back, each department is required to come back with a list of action items. Communication is a big piece of that. And it's, and communication is just so easy. What I tell people is, you know, over communicate with your staff. Give them more information that they need to, because then they feel as really as a part of the team. So on a monthly basis, we do monthly information meetings. It's a week that I spend typically traveling to all four of our offices, plus we have remote staff, so we do that via Zoom or video conference. But at those, we take about a half hour, 45 minutes, I'll give a company update. Usually we highlight one other area of the company, and that director or manager of that area will speak on behalf of them. And then we also give out awards. There's nothing better than receiving just little awards of appreciation, but in front of your peers is a good thing. At those meetings, we have a number of staff, so we have to have a couple of those per day. Usually by the end of the week, I don't have a voice left. And in fact, went out and bought a PA system last year because of that. But then I'll also spend time, and usually those days, a lot of times I'll just bring in a sack lunch, and I'll spend some time just sitting in the break room or in a conference room with the door wide open, and allow people to just come in and chat with me. And you know, they have the opportunity to complain, but it's usually the complete opposite. They usually come in, and once they find out that I'm just a regular old person just like them. And I think it was to Ken's point, you know, just because I have a different role doesn't mean that I'm different than you. And I think that's extremely important. And you hear some really good stories from people, a lot of positive things. And if they do have a complaint, the most important thing is to deal with that, you know, and get them an answer as soon as possible. As soon as they know that you followed up with them, you've won them over. And a good example of that is probably 3-4 years ago, we've always had employee suggestion boxes. Well, we would look at those boxes, we'd look at the suggestions, we would probably be, you know, implement the ones that we could, but if somebody had that idea, only one person now knows that was implemented. So usually on a quarterly basis, we'll go through the list in those employee info meetings, talk about all of the types of requests that came in, talk about the ones that we did implement, talk about the ones that we didn't implement and why we didn't implement. And those are always the fun ones. We want limousine rides to and from work every day and all those, and we get people to laugh and things like that. But it is making sure that they feel heard and that you follow through.
I mean, to kind of go back to the idea that culture is expensive and it costs a lot of money, I think fun is expensive, right? To create an environment where we're having fun and giving away prizes and all that. Yeah, that costs a lot of money. And I guess you got to look to see where it is in the priority list, because especially as hard as it is to hire these days, being an environment for especially this new generation that's coming, it's no longer the millennials. Now it's the Generation Z, and they want to have fun. So we do have to budget that and plan ahead. But I think the part that doesn't cost money is the development side of people and mentoring people and making people see the importance of the role they play in an organization and that they matter. And no matter what level you're in, no matter if you're, you know, cleaning the toilets or if you're the president of the company, you and your role and what you do every day for this organization makes a difference, because these generations need to know they have a purpose and that they are making a difference. And they are making a difference in the collection industry and helping them understand that when they tell people where they work, and you know, you're a collection shop. So the answer that everybody gets whenever they say, where do you work? They say, you know, I work at a collection shop. The answer they get is, don't call me. And for them to feel pride in what they do and saying, you know what, you should thank me for calling you because I'm making these phone calls every day, I'm making sure that your cell phone bill is lower, your medical costs are lower, I'm making a difference in the economy, more than you'll ever know, and being able to share that pride in what they do every day and why it matters what they do every day. I think that's free.
Yep. Totally agree.
I like free. a reminder, if you have any questions for our panel, please hit the Q&A button on your Zoom webinar control panel and type them in, and we'll get to them before we wrap up today. And another reminder that today's webinar is being sponsored by InterPros. You can find out more about the company at www.interpros.com. We've talked a lot about how to get employees to buy in to a culture at a company. You know, is this something where it's got to be all or nothing? I mean, do you expect to get 100% of your employees to buy in? Is it a degree situation where you want to get, you know, some to completely buy in and the rest to just sort of kind of buy in? Or, you know, how do you kind of manage that? Because, you know, there's, you know, they don't have the saying one bad apple spoils a bunch for no reason, you know, because it's true. So I'm curious how you sort of manage, you know, your employees as it pertains to getting them to buy in. Cam, would you mind going first?
Yeah, so that's always the challenge. And you try to cut it off as soon as possible. As I, you know, tell the management team, I treat it like you would treat cancer. If you don't get to it early, it spreads very fast. So you try to make sure that you identify the individuals that are not on board with what it is you're trying to accomplish, and you cut it off. You're not going to catch it all the time in the manner that you want, but you're really trying to drive it home in regards to the ones that are on board on what you attempting to do. And they're going to flush out the ones that are not on the same page. They're going to always, if you sit back, and as I tell people, one of my biggest thing is don't play checkers, play chess. If you sit back long enough, they're going to expose themselves. You don't have to force them out. They're going to expose themselves, and you can quickly identify and get them out and have the next batch of hope, the future coming in. But that's, to me, that's how you're able to do it. It's always going to be the challenge of getting those individuals that they don't buy it. They're just here because I need a paycheck, and this was the job, and I have the experience. And they never last. So you just have to be prepared to make the move quickly.
You also have to make sure it's not upper leadership too. Like, you're always going to have individuals, like Ken said, that don't buy in, and they're not going to last. But you need to make sure that your leadership buys in. And if they don't buy in, you got to make sure that they don't last, but they definitely don't last for long. Because if you're not creating a culture where it's like, if you're not compliant with our culture and what our expectations are, then you don't get to stay. You don't get to lead.
I think that's important to make the decision, because you're also setting the example for the others who are actually watching. If you're letting leaders go outside, or if you're letting culture slip because it's tough times, because it's getting busy, because you need more team members. If you let the culture slip, people are going to start noticing that. And so making sure that you're setting the example, especially if it is a leader in your company. I think another way, it's not a matter of people flush, well, not a matter of them, like everyone buying in, but being intentional. We try to describe that we want to be good gatekeepers as far as when we're talking with candidates and bringing new team members in, that we're trying to kind of keep in mind our office's culture. Because as he said, people will flush themselves out. We reference them as self-selecting out, you know, that they may not just be a good fit for a variety of reasons, may it be the position, may it be our office's culture, but I don't think it's everyone in, everyone out. It's really a matter of the ones that are not a good fit making the decision, and then also they may self-select to take themselves out too.
I agree. I
remember something somebody told me: hire slowly and fire quickly.
Yep, man. I think we got that lesson.
Obviously, we're talking about a culture of growth, because it's, you know, it's an important thing that I think agencies should be focused on. So we've talked, you know, Tim's got his PA system. We've talked about the hoverboard. So I'm curious to kind of maybe get some ideas from everybody, you know, everybody, including Tim and Ken, if you get other ideas about how or what are the best ways for a company to communicate that it has adopted a culture of growth to its employees. Is it something that just a memo is enough? Is it like a stand-up meeting? Is it something that needs to kind of be reinforced, you know, every day for a month until it kind of sticks, or you need to test them on it? You know, how do you sort of get them to kind of completely understand and comprehend and adopt that culture?
Yeah, I'll mention, because I wrote it down when Ken was speaking, one of his first questions, and I think this is a great point. They need to feel that, and the words that he meant, that he said, was that you truly care. And so I jotted it down. And I think once they feel that, they need to feel it, because culture can be really fake. It's really easy to come out and say, oh, we're going to do this, rah, rah, rah. And that's that. And so you got to do it and believe in it every single day. And I think that's the important part of it. And once they do feel it, and usually you get the buy-in. And kind of going back to that last question, I was accidentally on mute, so I started to talk and got cut off. But, you know, probably 3 or 4 years ago, we had a large batch of new hires. And we probably got a little desperate with some of the people. And I would say, you know, we hired some bad apples. The nice thing was is those bad apples were taken care of, not necessarily by leadership or by management, but by their peers. And I still remember there was a lady, she still works for us, and she went right up to two or three of them in the break room and said, you guys either got to, you know, get on board or go find a new job. You don't just come in here, and you have to earn your spot here. And, you know, we don't like your attitude and this and that. And she handled it very well without any of us getting involved. And, you know, two of them were bought right into it, and the other one left. And it was that's a good thing. So when people realize what you do for them, and they appreciate that, they want to make sure that that's not just given to anybody. You got to earn that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just kind of in a sense. So, you know, some of the methods that we do to get it out there is whether it's an email, whether it's I get on the microphone and talk about it, whether I just in the middle of the floor. But it's kind of just that reinforcement of actually letting them know that, hey, we got a plan. This is where we're headed. And then for them to be able to see it, for you to explain it, so they know that they're just not an employee. They are a part of the change. And once the masses know, that you're going to have a few of the bad apples. But as I said before, you're going to weed them out. And if, as long as you're continuing to live by it and do those things, they're going to see it. And it's going to feed. And it's going to be something that becomes contagious. And that's how I believe the company grows. That's how I believe that, hey, when people see you on the street, or as my dad always say, I want my name to be my business card. So that's what I treat the agents. I make sure that when, hey, you walk outside of here, what do people say about you when you're not around? What does your name really mean when you're standing there? Does it hold power? Do you need that training for it to mean something?
Yeah, for it to kind of have your reputation follow you, I mean, you really have to put a proactive effort into it. They say in order for something to become habit, it takes a while. The average online says that for something to be a habit is 66 days. And so think about having to talk about your culture for 66 separate times before it just becomes second nature. And I think you kind of referenced that when you talk about, I want my name to be what my company is. And that's important because your behaviors really do kind of exemplify what your company's culture is. And if you're true and that's authentically who you are and who your company is, it just becomes habit as you engage in those behaviors day in and day out and exemplify them to your team members too.
Yeah. I mean, as an organization, we communicate our our values, and that those values tie to our culture. We communicate those quarterly. So we have a strategic plan that we put into place every year. And then that strategic plan always includes, you know, like engagement and our engagement score. I think maybe Tim says it is that we survey our employees every twice a year as well. And we have an engagement score to that. So we have goals based on that. But then we have meetings quarterly to discuss progress and what we're doing to ensure that our culture meets the standards that we've set for it. And again, if you don't, if our leaders aren't living it, then they're getting conversations consistently and removed from the organization if they're not willing to change. Because let's just face it, sometimes a culture like ours, or, you know, a culture in depending on what kind of culture you have, isn't a fit for everyone. And that's okay. But you make sure that your employees and the leadership that you have, is their values are a fit for you. So hire right, too. Hire right and communicate while you're hiring what your expectations are for your staff and how your culture ties into their values.
I'll just touch on that. You mentioned hiring right, and I couldn't agree more, because I think about 2 years ago, we worked with our HR recruiters to start asking questions in those phone interviews and those face-to-face interviews to hire for personality and hire for the attitude. So, I mean, just by throwing some just like off the wall questions at people, just to see what their responses are going to be, can be like fun questions, can really tell a lot about a person. And we don't want somebody in our office that's just going to come in and, you know, and kind of mope around. We want somebody like the people we're talking about that want to get up and want to sing, want to dance, want to run around and give high fives and just want to have fun. So I think that's an important thing. And I think we've done a really good job of that over the last 2 or 3 years.
When we look at our hiring, when you say hire for personality, we do the same thing. We look at the three C's, which is chemistry. How are they going to fit with the team that they're being put on or in the organization? What is their character? So chemistry, character, and then competency. Because, you know, you can train skills, but you can't train character and you can't train chemistry.
That's an interesting way that you put the chemistry and the character. We reference that as far as someone's chemistry, dealing with how smart, but not like book smart. It's that emotional intelligence. You know, how are they going to respond? And you talked about having reviewing someone's character. We look at is someone humble? Is someone hungry? Are they motivated? So I think it's great that we have in line, as we're being good gatekeepers, thinking about our office's culture, we also kind of are on the same page that we're looking for team players who are humble, who are motivated, and who are emotionally intelligent, where yours deals with chemistry and character. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. We actually have interview questions that the interview question will ask, like, well, for example, one of them will say, talk to me about the last time you made a mistake and how you worked through it. And next to it, in parentheses, it will say humble. So we have interview questions that are in line with the kind of character we want these employees to have.
All right, well, we've just about run out of time, but I want to sort of ask the most important question for each panelist before we wrap up. So everybody's still listening, hang on for a couple more minutes if you don't mind before we close up for the day. And I want to go around the panel and sort of get any concluding remarks, key takeaways, anything you didn't get a chance to discuss or bring up but wanted to, just because a conversation didn't go that way, or sort of any other, you know, sort of some, you know, important remarks, I guess, that you want to leave our audience with before we wrap up for today. So if you don't mind, we'll go sort of down the panel. Courtney, would you mind going first?
Yes, not a problem. I think one of the takeaways that I wrote down was really making sure that your culture starts at the top. Your leaders are a reflection of your company. Japanese culture. And there's that old saying, people don't leave jobs, they leave their bosses. So your culture really does have to start at the top with exemplifying those behaviors. And those behaviors kind of go back to our very first question, where we talked about how do you define your company's culture, dealing with what it is that we do, but also dealing with the behaviors and also making sure that if they're not the right leader, that we are setting that example, that we on our own are making that decision sooner so that people know what is our culture and what it is not.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Tim?
One of my favorite sayings is happy employees are the best employees. And I think it goes back to just making sure that you can be on their level. And, you know, Ken, you pointed out how you start your day, throw the Nikes on, walk around and talk to all the staff. That is so important. Recently, I had somebody in our office, a well-known person in the industry, that happened to stop by, and they were touring the office with me, and they were just amazed of how many people came up and wanted to talk to me, if it was just good morning or if it was, hey, guess what, you know, my son scored a touchdown last night in the football game. Any of that stuff is so important when they feel that they're on the same level as you. Another thing that I do that means a lot to people is I started by a couple years ago, every single day, emailing everybody that had a birthday that day. And then I took it to a different step. And about a year ago, invested in a piece of software where I can send a video email to them. And they love it because I find something that I can relate to them. But the best part about it is I love when they comment back. And they'll usually, you know, I'll leave an open-ended question like, you know, tell me what you're doing for your birthday tonight. And when they respond back, and if you can respond back quickly again to them, it's like an instant connection. And I'll go to travel one of the other offices. And, you know, recently I had a lady came up to me and said, you know, I don't have any family. I got that email from you, and that was the best birthday gift I could have ever gotten. She goes, you know, I've only interacted with you once or twice, but you knew who I was and you made a point to call that out. And she goes, I just really appreciate that. So every day, if I forget to do those, I remember back to some of those stories and it's like, wait, I got to get these birthday emails or birthday videos done. So just caring about people and letting them know that you care.
That's a great tip. Thank you. Ken?
I'm kind of going to echo, so I try not to repeat, so I try to use different words, but it really comes from the top to the, you know, and it trickles all the way down. You have to have that determination to be a part of what it is you want to see the company do. When they brought me on, Mike gave me the platform and said, hey, fix it. Make it your treat it as if it's your own. And he gave that to me and we were able to see the growth and we're able to see the individuals change their behavior. You know, I try to send out different motivational messages daily, or I may speak depending on where I am within the industry. But one of my topics that I, you know, been recently talking about is letting them know that pain is temporarily. But man, as long as you're going to be willing to put the grind in, man, that should last forever. And your blessing, your outcome is going to be great. It just may take a little bit longer. So that's pretty much this kind of the synopsis of RGS and what it is that we believe and how we try to get everybody embodied and growing and coached up and developed within the industry.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Kelly?
I'm just going to say something that we really didn't talk about, and I think culture, one of the things that we learn a lot during our ENPS, our semi-annual surveys, is recognition is key. There's no way that anybody ever gives enough recognition. We send out a weekly email on ideas on how to recognize our employees, but here's the thing, this is the theme of the day, is it comes from the top, and you are a big deal. If you have a leadership title, you're a big deal. Even though we want them to feel like we're just like them and we're a person just like they are. Getting an email from a member of management that you don't report to that says something great about you or notices something amazing that you did is a big deal, and it changes lives, and they will live off that. I mean, even today, like, I got an email from a member of management the other day that said something really kind to me, and like, I'm still living off of it today, and it was a week ago. So it, that one nice thing that you say to somebody about how good of a job they're doing lasts longer than even maybe a pay raise does. So recognition makes a huge difference in regards to your culture. Noticing things that are doing right.
I am going to recognize our panel for doing an awesome job today. I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your insights and sort of walking us through how you approach culture and what it means to you, and really offering some really good advice and tips to help others really sort of build their culture and at the same time help build the industry. So, panel, that was an amazing conversation. Thank you so much. I want to thank Courtney, Kelly, Tim, and Ken for that. Also want to thank InterPros one last time for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.interpros.com to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who participated. A recording of this event will be posted today or tomorrow to the accountsrecovery.net's webinar recordings page. I hope everyone takes a minute to fill out the feedback survey and share any ideas for topics like you'd like to see addressed in a future webinar. And I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their day. Thank you so much. Panel, thank you. Great job.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Mike.
Bye.